We are on the Gemara Daf Lamed Dalet Omed Beis, which is on the second wide line. Dinei Momonos Donin Bayoim. So once again, we have to refer back. Have a look quickly in the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, where it says Dinei Momonos Donin Bayoim VeGoyimrin Balaylo. We start the judgment at day, and it's allowed to be completed at night. However, Dinei Nefashos has to be completed by Yoim. Now, we also said another halacha that the Dinei Nefashos, and this was mentioned again recently, if they come to the conclusion that he's chayev, then you would spill over the din to the next day, which is called halonas hadin. So in order to give time to reconsider, to rethink, we're not so keen, obviously, to put somebody to death, and therefore we want to allow time for maybe it to be reconsidered. So have a look at the Gemara now, Lamed, Dalad, Omed Beis. So on the second wide line, says the Gemara, Dine Momenes Donin Bayoi, Mino Hanemili, Simon Mishpot Mane Mato, Mino Hanemili. How do you know that Dine Momenes has to start at the day, but it can be ended at nighttime? Says the Gemara, Oma Reb Chiya Bar Papa Da Oma Kro. Because we have a pasuk. What does Reb Chiya cite? Which pasuk? The pasuk says, V'shoftu es ha'om b'chol eis. What does that mean? B'chol eis. B'chol eis sounds like at all times. Whether it's night, whether it's day. And that's how we learn that Dine Momonos, even if it began at day, it could be completed at night. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case that we have a pasuk that says b'chol eis and at all times, then tchilas din nami, question mark. So why do you insist that the bezdin has to start at day? If we have a pasuk that says b'chol eis, which tells us that it's allowed to be completed at night, well then maybe why can't it start at night as well? How do you know that it has to begin a day? Says the Gemara, Kederova. That is because of Rava's statement. What did Rava say? The Rava Rami Ksiv. Rava asked the following stira. Rami always means he asks a contradiction between two psukim. It says on the one hand, Ksiv, Veshaftu Esa'om, Becholeis. As we just suggested, b'chol eis sounds like at all times. And yet, v'ksiv v'hoyo b'yoyim hinchilu esbonov. Have a look at Rashi quickly. Rashi says, b'yoyim hinchilu mishpot nachalois. That's talking about the psukim of inheritance, the hainu dinei momonos, and it says, b'yoyim hinchilu. So we have a contradiction between the two psukim. We have one pasuk that says b'chol eis, sounds like morning, night, it's all okay. And we have another pasuk that says no, only b'yoyim. Isn't that a contradiction? So Rava reconciled it and says ha keitzad. How can we reconcile those two psukim? And the answer is yoyim l'tchilas din, laylo l'gmar din. So can the judgment be only at day, or day and night? The answer is, are we talking about the beginning or the end? If we're talking about the tchilas din, we learn from the pasuk b'yoyim. Yoyim teaches us that it's got to begin at the beginning of the judgment has to be b'yoyim hanchiloy. We have another pasuk b'chol eis. B'chol eis is not referring to the beginning of the judgment, it's referring to the conclusion of the judgment. And that, therefore, is now pshat. So we now have pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the Dayanim have to begin judging the case b'yoyim. Okay, we now know where that comes from the pasuk b'yoyim hanchiloy. Why does the Mishnah say that it can even finish b'layla? The answer is because it says b'chol eis. Now, says the Gemara, masnisin d'loy k'Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah, however, does not seem to fit in with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, which is not a kasha, it's just a statement. Rav Meir is a Tana. Our Mishnah is composed by a Tana, which is absolutely fine. Rav Meir is allowed to have a differing opinion, but we're just trying to prove that our Mishnah is not necessarily unanimously agreed upon. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloik Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Hoya Rabbi Meir Oimer. Rabbi Meir said the following, Ma Talmud Loima. What does the following pasuk teach us? We have a pasuk that says, Al Pihem Ye Kol Riv V'chol Nega. This is very important, Rabbi Yisai, to understand what the pasuk is saying. Al Pihem means according to the Dayonim, Ye Kol Riv V'chol Nega. Now, what's a Riv? Anybody know what a Riv is? A riv is an argument, a machlekas in momoim. What's nega? Obviously, nega is referring to saras. So we have a very fascinating comparison over here. For some reason, we have one pasuk which compares momonas to saras. And it says it's al pihem. It's in accordance with the dayanim that you have to pasken both the halachas of the Paskan halachas of Dine Momonas and also of Negoim. And that's the Gemara's question, says the Gemara, V'chi ma inyan rivim eitzel Negoim. Why is a financial argument mentioned in the same sentence as Negoim? It's true. You have to go to the Rav, to the Dayan, to Paskan, both of these Shailas, but why are they mentioned in the same Pasuk? And if they're mentioned in the same Pasuk, that would seem to suggest that there's some comparison to be made between them. And there is. What is the comparison? Says the Gemara, Elo Makish Rivim Lenagoyim. The Pasuk is clearly telling us that you have to be Makish. What does Makish mean? To compare, if they're put in the same sentence, then clearly the Torah is telling you that you must compare Rivim to Negoim. Rivim are financial arguments. Negoim is when a Kohen needs to pass on a Shaila of a Negatzaras. What's the comparison? Ma Negoim Bayoim. Just like Shailas of Tzaras have to be paskened at day. Why? Dichsiv ubeyoyim heroes boy, because the Torah clearly says that it's got to be seen and paskened during the day. So to afrivim bayoyim, so to monetary cases also have to be paskened when bayoyim. Uman goyim, and another comparison, just like leprosy, tzaras, shaloi besumin, cannot be judged by a blind person. It's got to be visible to the kohen. So too, afrivim, shaloi besumin. So too, monetary cases also have to be paskened by non-blind people. Now, just press pause for a moment. The braisa carries on, and we'll see in a second. There are other comparisons between Momonas and Saras. But if we stop for the moment, what do we see in this braisa? That Rav Meir has taught us, maybe not everybody agrees, but Rav Meir has taught us that there is a comparison to be made between Dine Momonas and Dine Saras. Several points of comparison, but what's relevant to us is Saras definitely has to be done by Yoim. We learn from over here, so too, Momonas also has to be done by Yoim. So do we all appreciate that is not like our Mishnah? Because what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that, no, it only needs to begin at day. For the Psak Halacha could be Balayla, we brought a Pasuk before, B'chol Eis. So Reb Meir clearly does not hold of that Drosha, and he holds that, no, we learn from Negoim, just like Negoim has to be all done and dusted, has to be all decided by Yoim. So too, Dine Momonas, which means, therefore, in the final analysis, when does Dine Momonas have to be paskened? We have a machloikas tanoim. The opinion of our Mishnah is, it's true, it needs to start at day, but when does the psak have to come forward at any time. Makes no difference. B'yoyim or b'layla. Opinion number one. Rabbi Meir, however, disagrees. Rabbi Meir learns by virtue of the comparison to Tzaras that Dinei Momonos has to be b'yoyim, not just the beginning of it, but also the Psak Halacha. Two opinions, and that's what the Gemara is saying. Our Mishnah, therefore, does not fit in with Rabbi Meir. Yes.
Are you allowed to make a svara to say, well, Tzaras can't be by a blind person, has to be by, because obviously you have to be able to examine and see clearly every aspect of the Tzaras, but by Momonos, there's no shaykhis to the day. Ah, but when they're saying by a blind person...
Oh, we have a hekesh. Yes, we do. We have a hekesh.
Okay, 1 second. But by a blind person, what they're saying is it has to be somebody that has a clear understanding, that's not, has no yegia, that's completely, that's not blinded by anything, so he understands the whole aspect of the Momonos case. Are you allowed to make that svara, or does it have to be pashut pshat, which is
Hekesh has to be, yeah, Hekesh has to be 100%. It can't be that logic takes it to its non-literal pshat. Hekesh always has to be literal. If a summa can't paskin saras, a summa can't paskin momenus. Now, you're right. Logic would dictate that halacha makes sense in the context of negoim. After all, how can you check a nega if the guy is blind? But momenus, who cares? The answer is, you're right. It's not based on logic. It's a hekesh. And we're going to take a hekesh to the end. So Reb Meir is being machadish that there's a hekesh between rivim and negoim, which means monetary cases and tzaras. Tzaras has to be dafka b'yoim. Therefore, by extension, rivim, monetary cases, has to be dafka b'yoim as well. And that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, no, it only needs to start by day, but there's no problem in the Psak being by light. Now, carry on the Gemara, because the Gemara continues, not that this is so much our subject, but once the Gemara quoted the Hekesh between Rivim and Nagoyim, so now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says as follows. Umakish Nagoyim l'Rivim. Until now, we've compared money cases to Tzaras, and now we're doing a hekesh in the opposite direction, soras to monetary cases. Ma rivim shaloi bekroivim. Just like rivim, monetary cases cannot be paskin by relatives. We've learned that from Sukkim elsewhere in the Perek, if you remember. So to af negoim shaloi bekroivim. So to negoim also cannot be paskin by kroivim, even though we have no explicit posuk anywhere that says that Krovim are possible to Paskin Nagoim, but Aramea says, but we learn it out by virtue of the fact that we have a Hekesh. If it compares it to monetary cases, so just like in the case of monetary cases, you cannot have Krovim. That's definitely learned from Adrosha, we've learned it early on in the Perek. So too also, in the case of Nagoim, it cannot be Paskin by Krovim. Says the Gemara, Yi ma rivim b'shloisha af negoim b'shloisha ? If you're going to tell me you have a hekesh and you're absolutely comparing them in every single detail, so as we said before, if you're going to compare it, you've got to compare it fully. So why don't we say therefore that 1 second, there's another halacha. What's the other halacha? That just as we know rivim, monetary cases, has to have a bezdin of shalosh, maybe we should say the same for negoim as well. Again, not that we have a Torah source, a posuk exeris akosuv that says three people are needed for negoim, but rather we have a hekesh. So for momonos, we know you have to have three that we learned right from the beginning of the masechta. And if I've now got a hekesh to negoim, so why don't I say copy and paste? And the same should apply by negoim. And not only that, says the Gemara, it would even make very good logic. V'dinhu, it would make a very good svara. Mamoinoi b'shloisha. If when you're dealing with somebody's money, you need three dayonim, gufoi lekol shekein. Isn't it even more obvious that you should require at least three when you're talking about not just his cash, his money, but his actual body? Why do we need a bigger bezdin, for example, for dinei nefashis? So everybody understands, well, obviously, because dinei nefashis is a more severe case than dinei momonos. So says the Gemara, so when you're judging somebody's guf, about whether he's Tomei or Toyer, etc., etc. Wouldn't logic dictate that you should need at least the same that you require for Dine Momonos, and especially so as we have a Hekesh? Says the Gemara, no, because here we have a Gzeres HaKosov. Talmud Loima, we have a Posuk. Vehuva el Aaron HaKoyen, oi el Achad Me'akoyenim. We clearly have a pasuk that says you bring the tzaras to Aaron HaKohen or one of the Kohanim. Holomadata. So we learn from over here, Sha'afilu Kohen Echad, Roya Es HaNagoyim. Fine. So now Rabbi Yisai, the story is complete, although the Gemara does continue this. Again, we've veered off subject a little bit because we're not so much dealing with Dine Nagoyim. But what was relevant to us was that if we have a Hekesh, according to Ramea, that compares Nagoyim to Rivim, Rivim meaning Momonos cases, so just like Nagoyim has to be Bayoyim, so too Momonos has to be Bayoyim, and that's not like our Mishnah. Now, says the Gemara the following story. Hahu Samya. There was this particular blind person. The Hava b'Shivavuse de Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan. The Hava doin dina, and this blind person used to pasken dinim. Didn't we just say a moment ago that we have a hekesh? That just like Nagoim cannot be pasken by a suma, so two momonos cannot be pasken by a suma, and yet that's exactly what this blind person in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood seemed to be doing. V'loi omar le Rabbi Yochanan v'loi midi. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything to him. Rabbi Yochanan did not make a protest. Rabbi Yochanan did not protest. And if he did not protest, that would seem to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan is more than happy for a blind person to be a dayan on a bezdin. That would seem to be the suggestion. Says the Gemara, how can it be? Heichi Ovid Hochi. How could he possibly allow this to go? Why was he remaining silent? Surely, V'ha'omar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say, Halacha, Kastam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan once told us an across the broad principle that whenever you have a Stam Mishnah, what does that mean? A Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, the halacha follows that Mishnah. And indeed, we have a Stam Mishnah. What's the Stam Mishnah? The Hotnan. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Masechtas Nida, and it says, Kol HaKosher Lodun. Anybody who's kosher to judge is kosher lohoid, is kosher to be a witness. The yesh kosher lohoid. There are some, however, who are kosher to give testimony, but the ain kosher lodum, but not necessarily kosher to be a dayan. And who is that? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself said laasuye suma ba'achas me'enov, to include somebody who is blind in one eye. If somebody is blind in one eye, he's allowed to be an aid, but he's not allowed to be a dayan. So that, Rabbi Yisai, is the end of the question. Here we have a Stam Mishnah that seems to clearly exclude somebody who is blind. In fact, even if he's only half blind in one eye, he's not allowed to be a dayan. So how could Rabbi Yochanan let this dayan in his neighborhood pasken shailas, and Rabbi Yochanan let it go unopposed? But didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say that the halacha always follows the Stam Mishnah? And we have a Stam Mishnah in Nida which says that a suma cannot be a dayan. So if Rabbi Yochanan 101 is 2, if Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is always like the Stam, and we have a Stam Mishnah that says that a suma cannot be a dayan, so Rabbi Yochanan must therefore pasken la halacha, surely, that a suma cannot be a dayan. So when you have this fellow, this blind person in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan who's paskening shailas, why did Rabbi Yochanan not make a protest? That's the Gemara's kasha. In other words, didn't we say a moment ago that we have a hekesh between Nagoim and Rivim? And we said, just like when it comes to a nega, a tsaras, it's got to be paskened by somebody who's not blind. As Larry pointed out, there it's obviously very logical. But by virtue of the fact we have a hekesh, and therefore the same applies to Rivim as well, Momonos. That so too in the case of Momonos also, the Dayan cannot be blind, and that seems to be the opinion of this Stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we always pass in the Halacha like a Stam Mishnah. So therefore Rabbi Yochanan surely has to pass in the Halacha that a blind person cannot pass in Dinei Momonos. So when you had a blind person who's passing in Dinei Momonos in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, why did Rabbi Yochanan not protest? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Stoma Achrita Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found another Stam Mishnah. It's true. Rabbi Yochanan has a golden, unbreakable rule. What's the golden, unbreakable rule, Rabbi Yochanan? The halacha follows the Stam. But here comes the $64 million question. What happens if I've got two Stam Mishnayos and they seem to disagree? Well, halacha can't follow both. So there we're going to have, for some reason, we're going to have to wait to decide which Stam are we going to follow. So it's true. We brought a Stam Mishnah in Nidah that says a blind person cannot be a Dayan. But guess what? Rabbi Yochanan found another Stam Mishnah. What does it say in the other Stam Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Stoma Ashkach, Achrita Ashkach. He found another Stam. And we have another Stam Mishnah that says that a blind person is kosher to be a Dayan. Well, what does it say? It says, Dine Momonos Donin Bayoim. The Goyim Rim Balayla. Which Mishnah is that? That is our original Mishnah. What does it say in our original Mishnah? That when it comes to Dinei Momonos, you're allowed to paskin the Shaila at night. At night, nobody can see anything. So it would seem to be, if you have a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Balayla, two words, Dumya Desumo. Night is comparable to being blind. So if our Mishnah says that what? That you're allowed to paskin dini momonos at night. So what does that seem to imply? That having vision or not having vision is irrelevant. So if you're allowed to paskin at night, you're allowed to paskin as a summa as well. This is, by the way, a bit of a chiddush. You could have differentiated. You could have said no. Night is different. Firstly, you can light a candle, so it's possible to see. Even if not, at least the person himself essentially can see, whereas a summa can't see at all. Fine, all of those are chilukim, but the Gemara does not make those distinctions. So therefore, if we have a Mishnah that says that what? That you're allowed to paskin shailas balayla. So Gemara says there's no difference between balayla and the summa. Even though, by the way, that very Mishnah that says you paskin balayla says you've got to start by day. But again, the Gemara does not make that distinction. So if you're allowed to paskin the shayla balayla, it seems quite clearly to be that whether the Dayan has or does not have vision does not make any difference. So if that's the case, what is the opinion of our Mishnah? The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which again is a Stam Mishnah, there's no names recorded there. If the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Flamed Bay, says that you're allowed to paskin shailas of Momo in Balayla, so the Gemara is extrapolating, so too a Summa is allowed to paskin shailas. What's the difference if you can't see because it's dark, nighttime, or because he's blind? It's all the same thing. So therefore, says the Gemara, you're right. Reb Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah. That is a Psak Halacha. This case is indeed no exception, because the Stam Mishnah of Daf Lamed Beis clearly holds that a blind person is allowed to Paskin Shailas. So therefore, when you had this blind person in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan Paskin Shailas, and Rabbi Yochanan did not make any protests, the answer is yes, he's following the Stam Mishnah. Which Stam Mishnah? Not the Stam Mishnah in Nidah, which seems to imply that a Summa cannot be a Dayan, rather the Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin that seems to imply that a Summa can be a Dayan, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan was happy with it. Yes.
When I suggested to you earlier that there was a Svara here, and you said the Hekesh is a Pashup Shat, so Pashup Shat is daytime yes, nighttime no. But now they're coming to say, but that means blind person. But when I, if you want to, yeah, if you want to use logic, then that could show you why blind person for Tsaras makes sense.
Yeah.
Blind
when
person.
You're coming from a Hekesh, then logic plays no role. Our Mishnah was nothing to do with a Hekesh. Our Mishnah just presented a halacha, which, as we learned before, it comes from a pasuk. It says b'chol eis. B'chol eis means a knight. So there's no difference in a knight or a blind person. It's nothing to do with a Hekesh. When you compare two things, you just have to compare them ad hasayif, even if there's a logic to do, even if there's a logic to differentiate between them. So
yeah, but if you're saying that if that's the case, then if you're saying at night, then I could say to you that a blind person should be allowed, if you talk about the night, I could say a blind person should be allowed to paskin during the day. If it's not shaykh to be
able to be like this. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. So if our Mishnah says that that at nighttime you're allowed to paskin, again, our Mishnah, not Remeir. Remeir made a hekesh to say otherwise. We've already established Remeir does not fit in with our Mishnah. But we're going with our Mishnah now. Our Mishnah holds you're allowed to paskin shilas at night. So Gemara says there's no difference between night and a blind person. So clearly the opinion of our Mishnah, not the Hekesh. You're quite right. Remeir went with the Hekesh. The Gemara already said that's not like our Mishnah. But our Mishnah does not go with the Hekesh. And our Mishnah says nighttime is a perfectly good time to paskin shilas. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, there's no difference between nighttime and a blind person. So what is the opinion of our Mishnah? Can a blind person paskin shilas? The answer is yes, he can. It's true. We had another Stam Mishnah in Nidah that followed the Hekesh that Larry just mentioned, that a blind person cannot paskin shilas. We have a machlokes between two Stam Mishnahs. One Stam Mishnah says a blind person cannot paskin halacha. That's in Nidah. We have a Stam Mishnah here in Sanhedrin that says a blind person can paskin shilas, and Rabbi Yochanan decided to paskin lahalacha like the Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that a blind person is allowed to paskin shilas, and that's why when he had this blind person paskin shilas in his neighborhood, he didn't make a protest. With the only obvious remaining outstanding question, if at the end of the day we have two Stam Mishnayas, how did Rabbi Yochanan know which one to paskin like? Says the Gemara, "My ulme dahai stoma mehai stoma." Why is this stam any stronger than the other stam? It's true. I've got a contradiction. It's not really a stira. It's a machlekas. Okay, you can have a machlekas. The Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin says a blind person can paskin shilas. The Stam Mishnah in Nidah says no, he cannot paskin shilas. So how did Rabbi Yochanan, why did he dafka opt for the Mishnah and Sanhedrin? Why is that better? So Morris says two reasons. Firstly, Ibois Eimer, it's a stoma de rabbim. What does that mean? It's a stoma de rabbim. Because we know, who is the opposing opinion? The opposing opinion is Remeir. Remeir is definitely a das yochid. So our Stam Mishnah, we could say, is the Chachamim. We always prefer to go with the Rabbim as opposed to the Yochid. So the other Stam Mishnah, which said that a blind person cannot paskin the Shailas, that's going with Remeir as a Hekesh. Our Stam Mishnah could be the opinion of the Rabbim. So I prefer to go with the Rabbim. That's one reason. And another reason is Bibois Eima Mishum Daktoni Lo Gabi Hilchasa Dadina. Because If you want to paskin a shayla in Hilchos Momonos, where is the best place to look it up? Obviously, Masechta Sanhedrin. Masechta Sanhedrin is where the Mishnah details all the halacha of Dinei Momonos. Whereas the other Stam Mishnah, which Masechta was it in? It was in Masechta's Nida. That wasn't the subject there at all. It only came in by the by. I prefer to paskin a Mishnah where that is the subject matter, like in Sanhedrin, as opposed to a Mishnah in Nidah, where that's not the subject matter, and it just happens to come in at a tangent. So therefore, two reasons why Rabbi Yochanan opted for our Mishnah. Number one, it could be the Rabbim, it could be the opinion of the Chachomim, as opposed to Rav Meir. Secondly, because this is the subject matter. Masechta Sanhedrin, after all, is a Masechta that deals with Dinei Momonos, whereas Nidah deals with Masechta's Nidah. How did it come in over there? It came in by the by. So there's no problem. If I have no other Mishnah, then I would go with it. But if I have a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin, that's the best place to paskin halacha of Sanhedrin.
Rebbe, why can't Rabbi Yochanan say, so we know this is a Nida. In Nida, it makes total sense. The guy has to look at the signs, at the blood, to see if and read the thing. So of course,
it's not about Nida. It's talking about Momonos.
No, but I'm saying in Masechtas Nida, right? It makes sense that sight would be an issue.
That Mishnah is not talking about Nida Bichlal.
I understand that, but it comes in
Masechtas
Nida.
It comes in as a tangent, and it says that you have to compare. It says that Dine Momonos needs to be done not by a Summa. How it came in, Ayin Shom. But again,
but why isn't there any svara that says what is the shaychus between the ability to see and paskening a shayla on Momonos? You don't have to see anything.
Okay, but we have a Furash Mishnah. I can't argue with the Mishnah. But the Mishnah does say, Kol ha-kosher lodun, kosher lohoid. We have a principle. Kosher to paskin, kosher to testify. So the Mishnah definitely said a blind person can't paskin the halacha. All that Rabbi Yochanan was saying was, Chas Hashanah, I'm not arguing with the Mishnah, but I'd much rather paskin a Mishnah about Sanhedrin, which is in Masechta Sanhedrin, as opposed to a Mishnah about Sanhedrin, which is Masechta's Nidah. So if I've got two reasons why Rabbi Yochanan favored the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, final halacha, therefore, in the final analysis, Rabbi Yochanan paskins that the Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin, a Summa is allowed to paskin Dinei Momonos, and that's why this particular Summa in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan was paskining Shilas, and Rabbi Yochanan did not protest.
And if you ask the Manda Omer that does not agree with Rabbi Yochanan, why is a blind person not allowed to paskin Dinei Momonos? What would he say is the reason?
Compares it to Eidos. It says, Kol ha-kosher lahoid, kosher lalodun. You can only be a good dayan if you can be a good aid. And he learns it from Psukim that you compare witnesses to dayanim.
But isn't witnesses just a matter of I saw or I didn't see? Well, whereas said, opposed to dayan is knowledge?
So we said it's a hekesh. He's comparing a hekesh to witnesses to dayanim. He's not saying logic. Logic would dictate that it makes no difference whether you could see anything at all. But I have a hekesh. Our Mishnah doesn't hold of the Hekesh. So why is our Mishnah better? Either because it's the Rabbim or because the context is Sanhedrin. I'd rather paskin a shayla about Sanhedrin, which is written in Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.
Yeah.